Yeah. Good morning. How is everybody this morning? All right. Well, it's good to have everybody this morning. We are going to have an awesome morning of worship. I know we are a little thin, spread thin this morning, but that's all right. We are glad everyone is here. And a few quick announcements here before we get things kicked off. We've got a team meeting. There will be a youth team meeting coming up on Wednesday, August 19th at 6:30 p.m. Giggles. The Giggles group will be meeting. Their next meeting will be Thursday, the 20th at 6:30 p.m. That will be downstairs. And all ladies are welcome to attend. And please bring a friend. Our back-to-school party was supposed to be today. We're going to postpone that a little bit. I have been working 6 days a week, so I do not have anything ready. So we're going to postpone that till next Sunday. And it'll be at 4 o'clock at my house. And, of course, if anybody wants to swim, the pool is open. I'm hoping it'll be warm next Sunday. I think it will be. Yeah, hot tub's open, so, yep. Yeah. I don't know how many people we can pack in there, but we'll figure it out. So.
Swimming suits are mandatory.
Yes. Swimsuits are mandatory, so... Even though I have a long driveway and I live in a wooded area, swimsuits are mandatory. Yes. So I don't want to.
I thought it was just mask.
Right. Yeah.
A one piece mask.
Yeah. A one piece mask. Yeah. It's like a pullover mask. Yeah. Yep. So, all right. What was the church picnic, right? We have a church picnic coming up. When is that going to be? Okay. Okay, all right, so we do have a church picnic coming up, and so that'll be in the next week's bulletin, and I don't know, is there any other announcements that anybody had? All right, let me grab. I didn't either, but I'm going to. All right, so today is Bryson's birthday. That's Michelle's little boy, so he turned 7 today. And then Kendra has a birthday, and that is on Thursday. So yesterday, if you guys missed it, was Raven's birthday and Olivia's birthday. So if you see them and haven't sent them cards out, please do so. And so you're going to sing to Kendra? All right.
Kendra, you can stand up or you could remain seated. I will give you that option. Now, Pam, I won't give you that option, but I'm giving Kendra that option. Of course, Pam, when she stands up, you're not sure if she's standing. Oh, wait a minute. Did I say happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kendra. Happy birthday to you. That's the second time I've sang to her this morning, so how about that? Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to open this up with some scripture, and then we will all worship and sing together. All right, so we're going to open up this morning with Psalm 147, 1 through 3. Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God, how pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you reading to us this morning. Glad to see the harps snuck in on us. I'm glad they're here. All right. If you would like to stand, please do so now. Let's lift our voices and hearts to the Lord in praise.
God is able. Greater than all we see. is with us. God is on our side. He will make a way. Far above all we know, far above all we hope, He has done great things. Lifted up, He defeated the grave. Raised to life, our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord, our God is able. Lifted up, He defeated the grave.
The ends of the earth. You alone.
of God, and all the world will see that you are God. You are God. Jesus, I believe in you, and I would go to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. For you alone are the Son of God, and all the world will see that you are God.
Oh, no.
This morning, my communion meditation is about a little bit about how they would, in biblical times, look at those around them to see if they were righteous or non-righteous, and signs that they might see that a person was righteous and holy, and that the person had the Holy Spirit that lived within them, or maybe that the person had demons that lived within them. And it comes from Acts 28, verses 1 through 6, and I'll read that first to start. And it says, Paul ashore on Malta. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself to his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. As I had started with, I said, you know, in those times, the people of the island of Malta, they were looking at him as though he were someone that had to have been evil. They called him a murderer. And so go through these bulletins here of kind of how they were looking at it. It says, at first, Paul's just a poor, innocent shipwreck victim, along with the others from his ship. The Maltese built a fire for them. No doubt it was simple, but very welcome in a form of charity. But then they saw the snake bites. These people would be accustomed to the idea that justice would not allow a murderer to live. And therefore, Paul was bitten by the snake so that the justice might be done. Nature was often seen as delivering the justice of the gods. This is very similar to what the friends of Job told him about his problem. The reason you are afflicted is you are a secret sinner. In short, they think Paul deserved the snake bite. When the snake then in turn fell off into the fire and they noticed that Paul was unharmed, they changed their mind. Since he didn't die, he must be innocent. The innocent suffer is then presumed to be a god. It is something that they see as just natural causes. Well, that kind of leads us to suffering. Suffering, in a sense, is a form of trial by combat. It's you versus what can go wrong in the world. Suffering exposes the guilty. Remember Job's friend? They urged him to confess and repent because they assumed he was guilty in some secret sin. Their argument was that there was no sense of denying it, and suffering had exposed him. But what happens when you discover that the sufferer is innocent? What happens when somebody starts to ask, what did she or he ever do to deserve that? We are quick in that instance to say that the suffering from God, and it is for his purpose. When we conclude that the person is innocent and suffering, our attitude changes greatly. Such suffering provokes our great sympathy and raises the question, why? And of course, the common answer is that the most innocent suffer from the divine purpose created by God. That leads us to the time of communion. The ultimate example of the innocent suffer would be Jesus Christ. In his case, the suffering is worse because it was imposed by a judicial system of the time. That's the very same system that the people of Malta would have told you was a great idea. An idea of how this innocent suffering affects people may be gained from looking at the times of the Roman Empire and how they handled their things. I know he's not exactly an example of moral philosopher, but let's take a time of the Roman Empire and let's see how they would have executed a person. And they would have executed them in the most horrific way that they possibly could. They would literally suffocate the person by hanging them on a cross and torturing them. So, as we look at the way that Jesus was crucified at the time of communion, we have to think that this was a suffering that he absolutely did not deserve. He was a sufferer. He was suffering a realm of execution that he did absolutely nothing to deserve. But he stood for what was the truth because he was truth. That's what we commune about. We commune about the suffering that he endured so that you and I didn't have to. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we take this time to reflect and remember the experience that that you had to experience, the suffering, the pain, the horrific torture that was done to your body until you were hanging on the cross and even spoke the words, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" And Lord, you had to bear all sin and darkness and be in the total darkness of God so that we would never have to experience any of that. Lord, I think sometimes we try to maybe forget or mask some of the horrific things that took place on Calvary. And we try to focus our minds on what good happened on Calvary. And Lord, we have to take all of that in at the time of communion and know that it was not a sacrifice that was unwelcome. It was welcomed by you, Lord, and you feared it. You welcomed it because you knew the outcome. You knew the outcome would be us alongside you in the Father's light. And Lord, we thank you that you welcomed Calvary, that you went there bold, and that you showed that you were the truth and you were exactly who you said you were. And we thank you for that each and every day. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
watch how much you are loved. These words go out to anyone who's ever felt so unlovable. I'd just like to say to you, that lie is so not true. This message is for the broken down. They say you can't turn your life around, no matter what you do. That lie is so not true. Do you really know? Well, let me tell you how much you are loved. Take the depths of the deepest ocean and go deeper. Take the top of the tallest tower and go higher. Take the best day that you've ever had. Try to imagine better than that. Still don't come close to how much you are loved. Don't worry about what you've done. God's love goes out to everyone. And here's the wonderful, beautiful truth that includes me and you. Where you are, wrap its arms around your weary heart. And all the love that you're longing for, you'll find all that love and more. Do you know how much you are loved? Take the depths of the deepest ocean and go deeper. Take the top of the tallest tower and go higher. Take the best day that you've ever had. Try to imagine better than that. Still don't come close to how much you are loved.
Welcome to go downstairs with Kendra, I think, this morning. On Easter Sunday, April 16th, 1865, after having been stabbed repeatedly by a man named Lewis Payne, Secretary of State William Seward lay in a hospital bed, physically crippled and emotionally drained. And to top it all off, he had not yet been told that his close friend Abraham Lincoln was dead. So wanting a better view of the trees that were just beginning to bloom outside, he asked to have his bed moved closer to the window. As he gazed out upon the beautiful new life in the outside world, he spotted the flag atop the War Department building. It was flying at half staff. He knew immediately what it meant, but it took a few minutes to sink in. When it did, he began to weep and to cry out loud, "The president is dead." His nurse tried to deny it, but he knew his friend was gone. Overwhelmed by his own situation and his grief for President Lincoln, he began to cry uncontrollably, shaking and weeping until the bandages that held his wounds together were soaked with tears and his own blood. Brokenheartedness is nothing new to mankind. And Jesus met many who were brokenhearted along his ministry, along his walk on the earth. Still today, Jesus encounters brokenhearted people. And this morning I wanted to remind us, whether you're one of the brokenhearted or you're trying to serve Jesus to the best of your ability, these are the people that Christ is drawn to. These are the people that we are called to minister to. And you do not have to look very far to find brokenhearted people. They're everywhere. They're in your community, they're in your workplace, they're in your church, they're in your family. And Jesus actively sought these people out. He didn't always wait for them to come to him. He sought these people out. And one of these people that stands out in my mind as I think of the many miraculous things that Jesus did was a woman whose faith was so much greater than her affliction. And I want to read it to you, and I want to talk about this lady for a little bit. And maybe you'll connect with her in a little way. I don't know that any of us are as broken as she might have been. But there are people in the world who are just as broken, if not worse. So if you have your Bibles or if you want to write it down or mark it down, I'm going to be reading Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 21. It says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and lived. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciple answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Jesus had been given the power to heal the brokenhearted, not just to physically heal people, but he was given the power by God the Father to heal the brokenhearted. And this dear lady's life was in shambles by her physical affliction and probably emotional and spiritual abuse that she probably endured by the community. Jesus brought her healing in many more ways than just one. And I want to talk about this morning. First and foremost, we see a life here in despair. We as Christians need to have our eyes opened to these kind of people. Jesus recognizes a life right in front of him here that is in absolute despair. It's hard to imagine just how miserable this woman's life had become. I doubt seriously if any of us could even remotely identify with her physical struggles and the shame that she was probably put through in her community and even in her family. She was deathly ill and had been that way for 12 years. 12 years this lady had bleeding. And this was much of her life. It had been spent battling an embarrassing affliction that had ostracized her from everyone that she knew. She could not be with her family and friends because she, at that time, she would have been considered unclean. She would not have been able to be around friends, family like you and I enjoy. We're kind of freaking out and upset that we can't do what we want to do on a daily basis, or we have to wear a mask into a grocery store or something like that. This lady couldn't go just anywhere that she wanted to go. She couldn't do just what she wanted to do. She was considered unclean by the church and by the community, and she was ostracized for it. No one was allowed to even touch her, keep company with her, or even speak to her because of her illness. Can you imagine never being hugged for 12 years? Never have a handshake in 12 years. Never have somebody put their arm around you and tell you it's going to be okay. I'm going to go through this with you. This lady didn't experience any of those things that you and I have already experienced just this morning. The joy that we get when we receive each other and maybe a little handshake, an arm around the shoulders, or just a smile by somebody and say, hey, I've been praying for you this week, or you were on my mind this week, or just to simply say, I love you. This lady probably did not experience that for the last 12 years of her life. The law, the Jewish law at that time, called for her to be cast out of the city until she was healed. And she might very well have been cast out at one time. She was considered unclean, cast out until she was healed. The scripture says she was seeing many, many doctors. She spent every penny that she had on medical bills to get healed so she could get back connected to her community, get back connected to her family, the ones she loves. The only ones who might have even dared associated with her were the lepers. They had nothing to lose. She could not bring them any greater harm than the plague of leprosy had already brought, but they had enough problems of their own and probably didn't pay her much attention. So maybe not even the lepers, the low of the low in society who had their own community and was staying stay out, she probably was not even welcome there. Even the temple was off limits to her. The temple where God, where people went to be with God, to pray to God, to worship God, that place was off limits to her. If she entered it, she would have defiled it, and that simply would not do to the church leaders of that day. So even God's house was beyond her reach. Can you imagine? Imagine how great her sorrow must have been to not be able to be a part of the community, but even more so, being thrown out of the temple gates, being thrown out of a place of worship that you are not welcome here. Can you imagine walking into a church on Sunday morning with whatever ailment you have and being told, or any trouble you have, sorry, you're not welcome here until you get yourself fixed. The pain this lady, beyond her physical pain, the pain that she must have felt emotionally and mentally is beyond, I think, what most of us have probably experienced. She was an outcast in the middle of outcasts, with no one to turn to, no one to share her sorrow with, and no one to help her in any way. The doctors at that time were not even able to help her. She was all alone in her misery and her affliction. Think about the pain that you've experienced just in the last year. The pain of loss, pain of sickness, the pain, whatever the case may be, the loss of a job, the loss of family, anything, any pain that you've experienced in the last year. And you think about the people that came around you and helped you through that and loved you and wanted you and appreciated you. This lady had none of that. She was completely on her own in her suffering. I can see some of us in her story. No, I don't think everyone is such a burdensome physical illness, and I do recognize some of you do. Some of you have dealt with things going on with your body for many, many years. But others carry spiritual illnesses that keep us brokenhearted and separated from family, friends, And sometimes that brokenheartedness even separates us from God. And at times, I think this lady's shoes can fit us quite nicely, quite easily. And sometimes it feels like there's no sign of relief coming. And sometimes that pain can last and last and last. So like I said this morning, this lady fits both of these categories, the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. King David wrote in Psalms 34:18, "The Lord is near those who have broken hearts and saves such as are crushed in spirit." That lady had both. Some of us have both. But I guarantee you there's people in the community, out in that world, that have both, brokenhearted, but even worse off, crushed in spirit because they're living a life without hope. Whatever's going on in their life, they see no end to it. Whether they're stuck in sin, whether they're stuck in abuse, whether they're stuck in illness, whatever the case may be, they are living a life without hope, a life without Jesus Christ and the truth that you and I know will absolutely set them free. So Jesus, through his power, set out to heal the brokenhearted here. And he's still doing that today. The best thing about our God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He does not change. Throughout generation to generation, our God does not change. His love never changes. His discipline doesn't change. His power doesn't change. And his willingness to heal the brokenhearted and to fix the defeated and to give hope to the hopeless has not changed. So here we have Jesus encountering this woman, and he's about to heal the broken heart of this lady. You've got to admire this lady's courage and her faith. She had gone out into the crowd. Now don't forget, she's still sick at this point. She is still bleeding. She still is an outcast. She goes in the middle of this crowd, knowing that she did not belong there, knowing that she would have to face more public humiliation as the crowd would shout, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." But she went anyway because she needed help. You ever been to that point? Or you ever know somebody that's been to that point where they will try anything? I need that much hope. I need somebody to tell me it's going to be okay. I just need a little bit of relief from whatever it is going on in life. This lady was that point. And oh yes, she had sought help. Excuse me. Sorry. She had been everywhere to see every doctor she could find. And I know people in church that do that. Got something going on with a leg, a foot, an arm, heart, whatever. You go to every single surgeon, every single doctor until somebody can give you some kind of glimpse of hope or can do something to help you or fix you. This lady had been to everybody, but no one was able to bring her any measure of relief. In fact, she had spent all her money. All her money was gone because of her medical bills. And don't forget, being an outcast in her community, nobody was there to help. Her money was gone. Nobody was there. There wasn't a local food pantry that said, you know, come on in, we'll feed you, we'll take care of you. There wasn't any families that were going to say, you know, come on in, we'll clothe you, you know, we'll give you a place to sleep tonight. She was an outcast. The people weren't allowed to do that. All she got in return for all her efforts, Scripture says, was more pain and increased sorrow, more hurt. After spending all of her money, after seeking out all doctors, all help, all that she was left with was more pain, more suffering. And the Bible tells us that she is in the middle of the crowd and that she pushes her way to the front to get to this man she heard of, Jesus. She heard that he can perform miracles. And a miracle is exactly what she needs on that day. There's this man traveling the countryside. Rumors are saying that he is performing miracles. She probably heard examples of them. And she said, says to herself, if I can only see him, if I can only touch his cloak, something huge could happen. Healing could happen in my life. She had never met Jesus before, never seen him before. And her faith is big enough to receive a miracle. This is where the absolute unexpected happens in the story. Jesus knew someone had touched him. You think, you ever been in a big crowd and you're being tossed from one side to another, or you've been to a concert and there's people all around you, and of course you're being touched and you don't, you know, from every direction. People are all around Jesus and he's probably being pushed from one side to another. And out of all those people, the disciples even find it weird. He knows that one special person touched him. So he stops to see this person. Now, I believe with all my heart he knew exactly who this woman was. Remember I told you, always pay attention when God asks a question, because our God doesn't need any answers. But he asks the question, who touched me? Now, you know as well as I know, Jesus knew who touched him. And he actively sought her out. Nobody was seeking out this woman. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with this woman, but Jesus stops what he's doing in the middle of a crowd and seeks this woman out. She had to have been terrified. The scripture said she was scared. She had to have been terrified. All attention now was on her. Jesus, the man that everyone is there to see, stops everything, seeks her out. Everybody around her knows her affliction. You can't hide that. There's visual and there's smell that goes along with that. You can't hide this illness, that suffering. And all eyes and attention are on her now. I can't imagine the shock she felt when Jesus approached her. And it says she fell down before him and she confessed what had just happened. That she was the one that touched him. You got to understand, nobody approached this woman ever. And Jesus does. No one had anything to do with her, spoke to her, or associated with her. But Jesus did. He came right up to her and said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Can you imagine the joy that had to come over her? A lady, a woman, who was nothing, dead to society. The King of Kings, Creator of all things, doesn't say woman, doesn't say sick person. He says daughter. That is a term of endearment. That is a term of value. That is a term of worth. He looks at her and calls her daughter. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. In doing so, Jesus not only healed her body, but he healed her heart. Jesus, what's amazing, like I said, we serve a God that does not change. Jesus will still do no less than that for you and me today. He will still do no less than that for your brokenhearted friend, your brokenhearted coworker, your brokenhearted neighbor, your brokenhearted brother or sister in the church. So the question this morning is, are you brokenhearted over some illness that afflicts you daily? Is a family member brokenhearted? Anyone around you that you know? It doesn't matter if it is physical or spiritual. Jesus absolutely can bring relief. He will come to you if you come to him in absolute faith. trusting in him, but also trusting in his way of doing things. If you are going to put your trust in Jesus, you also have to be ready to trust in the way he's going to handle the situation. And it's very easy to say, well, Jesus didn't, he didn't heal my mom, he didn't heal my dad of that disease. I used to not know what to say to that. I used to just say, well, God knows what he's doing, and God knows what's best. And I've got a preacher friend in this area who lost his mother several years ago. His mother was very, very ill. And this was before he became a Christian. And he got angry with God because his mom died. And for weeks and weeks, he was asking his mom, or he was asking God, who he didn't really know, but was praying to God that he would absolutely heal his mother, completely heal his mother. And he said, it wasn't until after I became a Christian and several years later that I finally came to the realization, I asked God to completely heal my mother. And he did. My mother was a Christian. He took my mother home, and she is complete today, without any pain, without any disease, without any suffering. God just did it in his way. I asked for healing. God gave her healing in his way, not the way I was expecting. And I'm not saying everybody's going to die that you pray for. But we need to, when we put our hands in Jesus, when we put our trust in Jesus, we also have to put our trust in the way he's going to do it. If we ask him to heal a financial situation or to heal a family burden or relationship problem or a community problem or a church problem or a world problem, we have to trust that he's going to act, because he always acts on behalf of his people. But we need to trust that he will do it in his way at the right time. Over and over, the Bible says, at just the right time, Jesus does this. At just the right time, Jesus says that. And, you know, we're living in a world today where it's easy to say, Jesus, how long are you going to let this stuff go on? How long are you going to let governments be this corrupt? How long are you going to let communities burn themselves to the ground? How long are you going to let neighbors hate their neighbors? How long are you going to let this stuff go on? When are you coming back? Jesus does everything at just the right time. That stuff could happen tomorrow. That stuff could happen 2,000 years from now. And Jesus in his return, when he fixes all things and brings those to glory. We are called today to pay attention to people today, the brokenhearted today. We are Jesus' representation here on earth. That's why he gave us his Holy Spirit, his power. You have the exact same power through the gift of the Holy Spirit to heal the brokenhearted, just as Jesus did when he walked the face of the earth. In the power of Jesus' name, there is a lot of power in his name. When you go to visit the brokenhearted and pray over them and love them and put your arm around them, there's power there. Because you're giving hope. There is a lot of power in hope. When somebody has that much hope, a lot of big things can happen. And lives can be changed. I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you want to just write that one down and read it later this week. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Now hear this. Not only does he comfort us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You have been made whole for a reason, to go and help others become whole in the name of Jesus. They are suffering. They are without hope because they have a hole inside of them that needs to be filled by the truth of Jesus Christ. And you are that beacon of light. You are that hope that they need to hear and see. See what Jesus has done for you. See what Jesus healed you from. See how Jesus made you whole in this crazy, dark world. Psalms 147, verses 1 through 3 says, "Praise the Lord. How good is it to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel." And hear this, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." That's the God of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, He was in the business of healing the brokenheartedness. Jesus comes along and says, "I'm still in the business of healing the brokenhearted." And He sends the apostles into the world with the message that you are to go and heal the brokenhearted. That's what God's in the business of doing. Matthew chapter 5. Right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is standing in front of thousands of people preaching this huge sermon. And right at the beginning of the sermon, Jesus gives the Beatitudes. And right in the middle of the Beatitudes, in verse 4, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." That is a promise by God. If you need to underline that one or highlight that one, either for yourself or for one of your friends or family members or community members. God promises, "Blessed are you who are mourning and hurting and are brokenhearted today. You will be comforted. If you put your trust in me, if you will rely on how I will take care of the situation, you will be comforted in one way, shape, or form. You will either receive healing, you will receive hope, you will receive peace in your life, but you will be comforted." So the big question this morning and the invitation, I guess, if you want to call it, is will you allow Jesus to heal your broken heart? If that's where you are today, if you need that comfort, are you going to allow Jesus to heal you so that you can go in the world and be a blessing to the world? God can't expect us to go help and give hope when we are living a life without hope ourselves. If you need to accept God's beautiful gift of healing, then come forward this morning. We will pray over you. We will love you. We'll put our arms around you and give you hope. If you know somebody in your life today, at home, at work, in your community, in your neighborhood, whatever, that needs that healing from Jesus, be the one. Make the commitment today that, "Jesus, I will serve you by loving that person. I will serve you by helping be an instrument of healing for that person to your glory and to your honor, that one day that person may bend their knees spiritually before God and acknowledge Him as the Messiah of their life and the Savior of their world." I want to invite you to bring your anguish, bring your sorrow, bring your affliction to the same cross that we talked about at communion time. Bring all that stuff to the cross where Jesus died. And He will give you relief. He promises that. He will give you reason to live again through His blood and through His grace. Oh, the gift of grace is amazing. I don't think we'll fully understand the grace of God till we're with Him completely in heaven. But cling on to that gift of grace by Jesus. If you're hurting on the inside today, focus on God's grace, His love for you. Mary sang about it this morning in a beautiful song. John talked about it at communion time. We sang songs of praise to Him at the beginning of our service. And it's all about His grace. It's all about His love for you. If you need that, come and we will pray with you this morning. If you need to offer that into the world today, make that commitment to God today. Either way, respond to the voice of God this morning. Please stand, and we're going to sing "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms of Jesus" today.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. I think you can remain standing, probably.
Yeah. I'm standing. I didn't have any cards turned in for prayers, but we do have a number of folks there that we're praying for in the bulletin, and of course you can see that we have a few missing this morning, and so Sheila is still in the hospital, so we're... Okay. All right.
So she just has to do physical therapy hopefully within 5 days.
Okay.
She should do that, but we'll see. But with this, you know, whole COVID situation, you're not allowed to visit. So
yeah.
She's not fond of it. You know, we're trying to explain it to her.
Right, right. So, okay.
And please be praying for Jeremiah. You know, he's having a hard time understanding. Like, Mammal's not here, and of course, it would just be in that home.
Sure. We've got plenty of folks here in our congregation that we are praying for. So, you know, just raising up Joe and Larry and Joanna, just making sure that we have them in our prayers each and every day. And that's kind of what we're going to do now. And go ahead. Okay. Sure. Okay. Update quick on my mom, because I know it's not in here, but my mom, of course, you guys, I know we're probably all just as shocked as I was to see her weight loss, but she has been to a lot of specialists this past week. They have ran a lot of tests. Blood work did come back good, so doesn't show anything leaning towards cancer. Now, this is what they did do. The cancer doctor has done a full body scan, which took about 4 hours on Friday, so we will get all the results of that in the morning. So tomorrow's a big day for her to be able to go and meet with that cancer doctor and find out exactly what he has found in the scans. They are going to have to do surgery on her throat, and it's going to be a temporary surgery again to where they're going to expand the esophagus so she can swallow. But then there will be a permanent surgery once they get her health kind of going again, I guess, get her vitals back to normal. And so she is receiving a lot of infusions, blood infusions and iron infusions. She's receiving a lot of IV treatment to keep her hydrated. So things are going in the right direction. And so just keep the prayers coming, and I think things are looking up. So I will update everyone tomorrow on what she finds out. But let's...
Joanna, Joanna doesn't have anything lined up yet? Still waiting? Okay. Spoke to my Aunt Frieda last night, and she
had two great days yesterday and the day before. She was hoping to go to church this morning, and she just not wasn't up to it today. But praise God that I fully believe that he healed her of her stroke. I fully believe that.
Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. Sure. All right. Okay. All right. All right. So I know you got a few things coming up, right? Okay. All right.
We're not lacking for things to pray about.
We sure are not. Joel?
I've got a praise.
All right.
I talked to my cousin adopted a little girl last week, and normally it takes 10 to 14 days to legally adopt a baby there and get them home or whatever. Her adoption took 3 days. They're home.
Awesome.
And she went to church this morning to be introduced to her church family.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Huge praise there. Absolutely.
I haven't updated anybody in a long time on my grandmother.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the double mastectomy. A whole lot of stuff has happened in her life. She's married. She's due to have a baby next month, September 25th. Her husband is now deployed in Japan, so he will not be there. She has come back home, so she's here in Mexico. I got to be with her yesterday for a shower, so she'll have the baby here at home.
Okay.
While he's in Japan.
Oh, wow.
And then he'll get back in December and then he'll be deployed.
Wow. Whoa. Big changes.
So she is home. She is very pregnant.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Very cool. All right. Well, it's really good to have some praises there. I know in a world that seems like there's a lot of negativity right now, there are still a lot of positive things. And on a positive note, I see sunshine outside. And so I know today is a beautiful day. And if you don't have plans, I would make plans to be outside. And enjoy what God has provided for us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are beyond gracious to be able to come in to your house each and every Sunday morning and to freely praise your name, Lord, and just to speak the word and to listen to your word and to take it in and to apply it to our lives, and that we might go out into our world and our lives and our work and our school, and we could be a beacon of light for you, Lord, that people could see you in us and through us, and that they would be led to you through us. And Lord, that is the purpose of why you put us here on this earth, is that we could spread the joy of knowing you and the joy of accepting that gift of grace, that we could extend that to others and just show them that there is love in this world, there is positivity in this world, and that that you are still working each and every day through each one of us. Lord, we know that you are performing miracles each and every day, and we're asking you for some of those miracles right now, Lord. We ask you to lay your hands upon some of our loved ones right here in our own church family. We just ask that you would heal them, that you would not only heal them, but Lord, bring comfort to them, because there's a lot of fears and anxieties that come with health-related issues, and we just ask that you would calm those fears, that you would take those anxieties away, and that you would place a calmness over them that only you can explain. Lord, as we go out into the world, we just ask that you would protect us, that you would allow us to love one another and love our neighbor just as though you love us. And Lord, we do all of that in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you, John. Back to school party. We're bumping it to next Sunday. And John asked us to be there at 4 o'clock, and there'll be swimming and hot tub and fishing and deep sea fishing. No, okay, no, I went a little crazy there. But that's next Sunday. The Ladies Giggles group meeting Thursday here at the church, 6:30. Any instructions? Just show up with a friend? Two or three or four friends? Okay. And then our youth ministry team meeting is this Wednesday. So all of you in the team youth ministry, and if somebody is missing today, please let them know that prior to that. Any other announcements before we close? Hope you have a great week. Heavenly sunshine, heavenly sunshine, flooding my soul with glory divine. Heavenly sunshine, heavenly sunshine, hallelujah, Jesus is mine.